Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Representative Paul Tonko, one of my favorite people in the whole world. He's got a terrific sense of humor. You wouldn't know it when you hear him, but he's got a terrific sense of humor. Democrat from New York's 20th District. He's been in office since 2009. Welcome, Paul.
Welcome, and I'm laughing about that comment, so I don't know what that says about me.
What's at the top of your mind?
Anything? What's at the top of my mind?
It ain't work, hair.
I'm supposed to have the sense of humor. I guess I have to endure your comments. what's on the? A lot of work to be done for the investment on the domestic side of the budget, and it's going to be a struggle.
We have to have that budget in a couple of weeks, right? Nothing's happening.
Right. You know, we seem more intent on undoing Dodd-Frank and allowing, you know, the regulatory restrictions that we placed on large banks to come back into play.
You know, Paul Tonko, I was going to ask you about that because there's been some play on the radio and television about not only the Republicans, of course, wanting to repeal Dodd-Frank, but some Democrats, too. What's that about? Money?
Yeah, I have no idea, but I think it's a very dangerous path to follow because we should have learned our lesson in 2008 with that massive recession that luckily we came back from through efforts in the stimulus and all. But, you know, to take some of this consumer-oriented reform language and undo it is, I think, not what the doctor ordered. I think it's going to be tremendously inviting now for some of the same impacts created by the banks upon consumers to come back again. And it would be an awful lesson not learned.
Well, it does seem like we're asking for it, doesn't it?
Right, right.
This was a tremendous meltdown. A lot of people thought we'd never recover from it. We did, but...
And, you know, coming from a president, actions coming from a president who kept talking about Hillary Clinton's association with Wall Street and the like, and now, you know, I guess these are campaign promises that are forgotten. And we just go forward and undo some great work done by Barney Frank. When I was in the House, I mean, I know how much work was poured into it. And in some ways, we didn't go deeply enough, I think, after those who really wrecked the economy and usurped some of the lifetime savings of folks who entrusted their portfolio of investments to people who they felt had high integrity.
You're so right. So how do you get a budget passed when all everybody wants to know is whether the president was messing around with a porno star?
Well, we stay sticking to the issues. I mean, if there's a message that I continue to pound away at, it's infrastructure investment. And I would have thought, at least the tone during the election, was that it was a bipartisan, bicameral thing, executive, legislative thing to invest in our infrastructure. And, you know, there was no hesitation by the president and the majority, Republican majority in the House and the Republican majority in the Senate to pass a tax bill that gave away 80%+ of the package to the wealth of this country and the largest corporations in the world. We had no problems borrowing $1.5 trillion that amounts to $2.3 trillion in payment with interest to then spend on the wealthy. And now when the cookie jar is empty, we're saying, well, we'll do an infrastructure bill, but we're going to ask local governments and state governments to pay for it. Yeah. So out of a $1.5 trillion plan that the president announces with great grandeur, we find out that the commitment from the federal government from Washington is $200 billion towards that $1.5 trillion, and it's $20 billion a year for 10 years. So it's a drop in the ocean, and it's roads and bridges and not much more. When, in fact, if you're going to do a once-in-a-generation infrastructure package, it should be inclusive so as to include our drinking water infrastructure, wastewater infrastructure, grid modernization, broadband expansion, many rail investments, along with roads and bridges. So my concern with how he's doing this is that it becomes a priority after we spent down on a trillion and a half worth of tax cuts for those most comfortable, and then not inclusive, so that it's not including all the disciplines of infrastructure and the final fault asking the local governments to pay the $1.3 trillion portion of the president's package that sounds like a massive investment from Washington, but falls far, far short.
And Paul Tonko, that's after he has crippled states with his tax bill, saying that you couldn't, you know, deduct your state and local taxes.
Right. The whole effort on the assault, the state and local tax piece, was in a way almost a planned attack on blue states. If you look at who's been impacted. So you have states like California and Illinois and New Jersey and our home state of New York and others that...
Massachusetts, my home state.
That's right. We don't want to leave you out. All of New England, I think, gets impacted in a way that, you know, penalizes those for sharing in human services that are essentially important. So, you know, the battles are going to be very fierce, I think, as we go forward through... this year, I don't think they're too anxious to do much beyond that budget because of this being an election year for every seat in the House. But we'll see what happens.
Paul Tonko, let me ask you about the tariffs. Along comes Trump, impetuously perhaps, maybe not. He says, I'm going to put a tariff on steel and aluminum. There's tremendous pushback, not only from the Democrats, but from the Republicans in his own party and from foreign governments. What do you make of the whole
thing? And appears to have made the decision in a vacuum, like not in consulting or perhaps rejecting what his own cabinet had said, along with some of his fellow Republicans that are in leadership. But, you know, the concern here is that a tariff war can be a very dangerous thing. And if you are going to apply this tariff, it should have been in a very targeted way with China, with Brazil, and other nations that are, you know, causing some of the greatest pain. Undoubtedly, it will inspire a tariff war, which is unhealthy for manufacturers. It's unhealthy for consumers in the U.S. And again, a bit of policy done in a rage, perhaps to distract from some of the social and financial ills that come his way.
Meaning the porno star.
Yeah. All these efforts to distract. And, you know, even within the legislature, when we're cognizant of it, we still have some that just follow down that path when I think we need to stay laser sharp focused on the issues that ought to matter, like infrastructure, an opioid crisis that needs to be resolved, gun violence, gun safety, mental health investment. All of these efforts are very, very important. So, you know, to get distracted, it's just a manipulative way to rule from the presidential focus.
So does he reverse himself once again? Because this is a president who's very fond of reversing himself.
Well, yeah, he could, accept that because there was such a, it seems as if the opposition is more intense, he fights, his counterforce is as intense, if not greater. So with so many speaking out about the ills that can come with this tariff application, he became even more grounded with that idea. And so I don't know if he reverses it, but again, hopefully we can modify how he's done things so that it isn't as hurtful to the economy and to consumers.
Paul Tonko, always wonderful to see you here, and I hope that you, you know, will not hold my really bad sense of humor against me. So
I'll try not to.
So thanks for being with us, because, you know, we don't know what we'd do without you.
Oh, thank you.